Hello everyone and welcome to the Eldar Properties second quarter and first half of 2021 earnings call. This is Mohammed Haidar from Arqaam Research, and as usual, we are joined today by Mr. Greg Fewer from Eldar Properties. He's the Group Chief Financial and Sustainability Officer. Over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Mohammed, and good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Q2 2021 results call. Mohammed said, I'm Greg Fuhrer, the Group Chief Financial and Sustainability Officer. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you, everyone, for joining on relative a brief exposure to our numbers. I think with the national holiday tomorrow, we decided, having just walked out of our board meeting to approve these numbers, to have this call now. So I thank you all for, I guess, tolerating just receiving the numbers, and appreciate you haven't had a lot of time to go through them, but we thought it was better to have this call today before the holiday, then after the long weekend, sort of Sunday, Monday next week. We thought this was the best of a couple of bad options. But as ever, our investor relations team is available for any follow-up questions with you. Samar Khan, our head of investor relations, is very accessible. And once you've had a chance to look at the numbers, please do reach out to her with any other follow-up for this transcript or any other elaborations. So overall, we're very pleased to be reporting another very strong quarter. We're witnessing a meaningful uplift in activity this year, benefiting from improved consumer and business confidence in Abu Dhabi. This is once again testament to the UAE's effective response to the global pandemic and rolling out a world-leading vaccination program whilst also implementing strong federal policies to encourage investment and private sector development. The supportive macro and policy backdrop is enabling a smooth and sustainable recovery, which is positively impacting a range of our indicators, from increasing footfall and sales at retail properties, increased school enrollments, to robust demand for our residential developments. Q2 group revenue increased 9% year-on-year to 2.19 billion dirhams. During the quarter, we registered 2.35 billion dirhams in development sales, smashing a previous record for our quarter. The project management services segment is ramping up and recorded a significant increase in fee income. And meanwhile, our investment properties continue to generate steady income with improvements across our various segments. Q2 gross profit grew 15% year-on-year to 824 million dirhams, and net profit increased 8% to 521 million dirhams. I would now like to dive a little deeper into the performance of Eldar Development and Eldar Investments, respectively. Revenue for the Eldar development business increased 7% to 1.35 billion dirhams, and gross profit rose 10% to 444 million dirhams, driven by robust development revenue. This was generated by new launches and a steady pace of sales of existing inventory, as well as a higher contribution from the fee-based projects management business. We recorded our highest ever quarterly sales at 2.35 billion dirhams in the second quarter of 2021. Bringing the total for the first 6 months of 2021 to 3.4 billion dirhams. All our new development launches were rapidly sold out, and that momentum has extended into the third quarter with recent sellouts at Al Ghuram Waterfront Plots and our Sadiat Reserve Villa development. We're seeing positive trends and pickup in activity in the Abu Dhabi real estate market and are confident in our ability to successfully bring new projects to the market in the coming months. Expatriate homeowners and foreign investors very pleasantly are representing more than 42% of the buyers across our development business. We also attracted strong demand from first-time home buyers and return buyers who have shown appetite for high-quality, well-designed communities. The strong sales of new developments in the period resulted in a 28% quarter-on-quarter increase in revenue backlog to 4.25 billion dirhams. Cash collections were up 36% year on year to 1.06 billion dirhams, and was driven by successfully collected handovers at Mamsha, Yaz Acres, West Yaz, Water's Edge, and Nareel. And meanwhile, the project management services business unit is generating a consistent and increasingly meaningful stream of revenue for our business, enhancing revenue visibility and providing healthy cash flow. Q2 revenue for this project management service business unit increased 58% year-on-year to 367 million dirhams, and gross profit jumped 192% to 108 million dirhams for the quarter. Turning to Aldar Investment, our asset management platform, this has shown considerable resilience over the last year and continues to do so through the second quarter. In the second quarter, Aldar Investment's revenue was 15% higher year-on-year at 874 million dirhams, with net operating income for the businesses increasing 23% to 375 million dirhams. The investment properties portfolio produced a 5% year-on-year increase in NOI to 308 million dirhams. Within that, the residential segment recorded just under 0.5% growth in NOI driven by higher income from new leases. Occupancy increased to 89% at the end of the second quarter from 88% a year earlier. Meanwhile, retail saw an 18% increase in NOI, mainly due to higher footfall and sales, also reflecting the Q2 period when COVID hit last year, reflecting, though, improving consumer sentiment and purchasing power. Occupancy held firm at 86% and is expected to be supported by good progress made on the Yas Mall redevelopment plan. I'd like to remind you that in the first quarter, we announced a 500 million dirham redevelopment program at Yas Mall, which will be delivered in phases over the next 12 months. The project will repurpose about 40% of the gross leasable area to create high-impact experiential retail and F&B spaces, as well as adding a total of 15,000 square meters of office space. Turning to the commercial portfolio, NOI declined 0.5% year-on-year, mainly due to lease maturities within our operating village segment. However, the underlying office occupancy held firm at 90%, supported by long-term committed lease contracts from government-related entities and corporate clients. The hospitality and leisure business is recovering with a 79% improvement in NOI, supported by an increase in third-party asset management fees and prudent cost control measures across the hotel units. Meanwhile, Aldar Education reported a 208% increase, year-on-year increase in net operating income to 49 million dirhams. This growth was driven by a 16% increase in student numbers over the last academic year and enhanced operational efficiencies. Provis, which has increased scale materially through the acquisition of Azteco, produced a significant increase in NOI to 17 million dirhams, driven by the completion of the Azteco transaction and some contribution in this quarterly earnings, along with growth across several of the service lines. At the end of a strong quarter, Aldar's balance sheet remains very strong, with debt levels well within group policy ranges. Our liquidity position remains very healthy, with 4.5 billion dirhams of unrestricted cash and a further 4.5 billion dirhams of long-term undrawn committed bank lines. And benefiting from this strong liquidity position, we are actively seeking attractive opportunities presented to us at this time in the market. We will continue to launch new developments in premier locations during the remainder of the year. And at this juncture, we'd like to revise our 2021 property sales guidance to over 5 billion dirhams. We also expect to pursue further asset growth and diversification of our investment property portfolio with an active deal pipeline heading into the second half of 2021, looking to deploy the surplus capital that we're building. From a financing perspective, during the quarter, we signed a new 5-year, 300 million dirham sustainability-linked loan with HSBC Bank. This represents a real statement of intent from Aldar on integrating ESG into all the various functions within Aldar and contributing to positioning Aldar as the highest ESG-rated real estate company, listed real estate company in the UAE. And we very much welcome the opportunity to link our financings and our treasury operations to metrics and KPIs along our sustainability goals. Amongst other initiatives in the second quarter, we also completed a business-level climate risk assessment following the TCF guidelines, and we joined the United Nations Global Compact, the world's largest corporate sustainability initiative. Sustainability at Aldar has also become very real for our employees, with sustainability integrated within the company's competency and performance management frameworks, along with numerous other policy improvements that we're making, contributing to our improving rankings along the ESG metrics. So overall, in conclusion, very strong second quarter results reflecting significant uplift in activity across Aldar's diverse interests over the last quarter. This has been a very busy period for us, and we expect to continue this accelerated pace of growth over the second half of the year. And with that, I'm very happy to turn things back to the operator and open the floor up to some questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by 2. For those who have joined online, please press the flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your line is unmuted locally. We currently have no questions, so as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you have joined online, please press the flag icon. We have a couple of questions now. Our first question comes from Tahir from JP Morgan. Tahir, your line is now open. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Greg, and congratulations again on a solid set of numbers. Couple of questions, if I may. Maybe just first on the development property sales. I mean, the momentum has been extremely strong. Can you just maybe give us some more color on the nature of the buyers between, you know, residents, non-residents, nationals, expats? So that would be helpful. And I think the second question is on the development or the fee-based projects. We're starting to see these big government projects that you signed filtering through the P&L. So maybe if you can just give us some guidance on the run rate on that project, as you know, the other Al Falah and these wind down. So this is, I think, the first part of the questions. And I think the second part, if we can just get some maybe more clarity on what's happening within the investment portfolio, specifically within the retail portfolio, that would be helpful in terms of trends and how should we think about this active deal pipeline that you mentioned coming through into the second half. If you can just give us some clarity on, you know, sectors, segments, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. So just first question, Tahir, on the development sale. So we included a statistic in our press release just to emphasize the point that you know, we're seeing more interest now coming from a broader group of people. I mean, the local Emirati investor has always been, you know, the anchor of our development franchise, and they continue to be an important, you know, the most important sort of constituency. But we're seeing a broadening and a deepening of the expatriate and the foreign buyers into our projects. And so we're seeing that in particular with the very, you know, expat-friendly jurisdictions like Yaz and Saadiyat, and that's where our launches have really focused in the last couple quarters. So Noya, Saadiyat, prime for expatriate home ownership, you know, really taking advantage of this thematic, this investment theme playing out here, which is Abu Dhabi becoming more of a home for its long-term expatriates. Expatriates actually becoming, you know, converting from rental into home ownership, and expatriates investing here as they start to get 5-year visas, 10-year visas, and creating more permanent, sticky, you know, residency here. And that's showing up in our numbers. You know, we're seeing a lot of young people. I mean, the largest age group is 31 to 45 in terms of overall buyer profile, and increasing in owner occupier. So those numbers really are trending in the right direction and underpinning sort of the broadening and the confidence that we're having in our sales guidances that, as I mentioned, we've increased now. Your second question was on the project side. And so, yeah, so, you know, we had just over 100 million, 108 million in profit from that division. It's still ramping up. I mean, what we're seeing is that the big mega projects that have come on from the ADQ transaction, particularly Riyadh City, Bani Yas, these are still in their relative infancy, you know, the early age of the S curve of the development. So, you know, with 108, you know, profit for the quarter on the early side of development for those big projects, you know, we see further growth quarter on quarter coming from those. From those big projects into the future. So we see that expanding. On investments, so you asked for a particular update on retail. Our retail performance going forward is really going to be driven by Yaz Mall. You know, it's a good, as I mentioned on the last call, it's a good time to be having plans for the last 12 months a redevelopment for that mall and to be executing it now sort of during the COVID and before tourism opens up here. So it's actually a very good time to be doing that. And so, you know, we still have leasing to complete at Yas Mall. It's still in the mid-80s in terms of occupancy. We have line of sight to get into the more traditional low 90s, where we expect to be within the next, you know, sort of 3 to 6 months as we execute the, you know, that investment plan. So you're going to start to see NOI growth pick up across Yas Mall as that plan plays out. That's probably the most important trend there. We actually had a good quarter as well from a community retail perspective. You know, so again, this theme that we saw of the very affluent and local resident community here staying in Abu Dhabi more to for some of their immediate and discretionary spending. We're seeing that play out in the stickiness of the sales at Yas Mall and the performance across our community retail malls. And then finally, you asked about the pipeline of acquisitions. So you know, we've got a fair bit of cash piling up, and this has been a trend you've seen from Aldar over the last the last decade that I've been here, is that we sort of pile up cash over time. We position ourselves for acquisitions when they come up. Generally, they come up infrequently in our market, but when they do come up, you need to be liquid. You need to be ready to take advantage of them, and we're certainly doing that. I mean, the most obvious example is we've got a bid out right now for an expansion to the Egyptian market, which we're extremely excited about. There'll be more to play out on that. That's a very public transaction. We've got a mandatory bid to, we've had a couple of extensions on now, and you'll hear more from us in the coming days about that as we work with the regulator and with that transaction. But, you know, it's a statement of intent with us. We've got cash. We've got appetite to grow, certainly into Egypt and domestically within the UAE across our investment portfolio and across all the segments. We're seeing, you know, very interesting opportunities in education and with some of the other big property owners in the UAE around consolidation and putting our cash to work. So I hope that I talked too much. I hope that answered your four questions.
No, it's fine. I just maybe just catching it from the end, which takes me to my final question. Aldar Education. I mean, it's quite significant the growth that we have been seeing there. A number of students, enrollments. I think currently you're sitting at 24,000. I mean, what is the end game for Aldar Education? I mean, this is more of maybe non-core from Aldar's perspective. But again, I mean, you're seeing some very healthy revenue, gross profit, and margins. I mean, how should we think about Aldar Education over the next, I don't know, 12, 18 months?
Well, yeah. So look, I mean, that's been one of our success stories for sure. I mean, that is, we have called that, and it remains sort of, say, non-core but highly valuable. And even just stepping back and recalling the history of Aldar Education, sort of emanated and grew from our position as a developer, where schools were sort of blots on a master development, and we had to build them as part of the communities. And we sort of built these one by one, started to manage them one on one, created excellent curriculum and focus. And then the focus in the last 5 years has been about corporatizing it more and really you know flipping it from excellence in education into both excellence and in education and profitability, and we've absolutely achieved all that. The real growth has come from, again, going back to the themes in the market around the government of Abu Dhabi privatizing a lot and Aldar being a trusted partner, is ramping up our fee business within Aldar Education. So we took over the management of the ADNOC portfolio of schools. We've taken over a number of charter schools, and we see a healthy pipeline with a very active government in Abu Dhabi seeking private sector engagement in its schools further. So I think you could see more there. And like with any valuable non-core business, you always seek monetization opportunities, and schools is one of those areas where a lot of private capital and a lot of investors spend a lot of time on education. It's a very investable sector. So as we continue to corporatize it, as we continue to improve its profit margins, as we continue to scale it, lots of opportunities present themselves then to
the owner of a non-core, highly valuable business. And the management team there has every incentive to continue growing that and show good realization opportunities for us.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tahir.
Our next question comes from Rakesh, from Franklin Templeton. Rakesh, your line is now open. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for the presentation and the call. I had just one question that was regarding the transfer of some of the residential assets that was supposed to happen to the Aldar Investments entity. So I suppose there were some units that were to be transferred from the Bridges and then some units from Water's Edge. So where are we on that? Can you talk a little bit about what's the status and when do you expect those transfers to happen, those asset transfers?
Yeah. So the Bridges transfer actually took place in this quarter. So sort of embedded in the ebbs and flows in the balance sheet, there's a transfer from DWIP to investment properties of just under a half a billion dirhams to reflect the Bridges. And Water's Edge is a project that's handing over literally as we speak right now. And those transfers will take place in the third and fourth quarters of this year.
Right. So these transfers happen via some exchange of cash. I mean, how is the parent compensated for these transfers?
It's a capital contribution from the parent into Aldar Investment Properties.
Okay. So there's no cash outflow really at the Aldar Investments entity really for this.
No, it's a equity a capital contribution, and then there's a leverage applied to it. So then our leverage policy applies, and a 37% leverage would be attached to those projects.
37% leverage, yeah, okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. For those who have joined online, please press the flag icon. Our next question comes from Harsh from International Securities. Harsh, your line is now open. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. thanks for the presentation. Two questions from my side. There is an increase in the commodity prices, construction cost, over the last 6 to 12 months. I mean, I just wanted to understand, how do you see the higher cost impacting your margin, not for the current projects, but maybe for the future projects? And if you can also share such, inflation component, how you are dealing with the contractors. My second question is, if you can briefly discuss your Egypt strategy. I mean, what role you intend to play? Obviously, it's a growing market, but again, there is a sharp contrast with respect to interest rate, mortgage penetration, demographics, when we look compare Abu Dhabi and Egypt. These are my questions.
Okay, great. Thanks, Harsh. So first question on commodity prices. So I guess the first comment is that our business model as a developer is to design a community, and then we tend to lump sum fixed price contracts with our contractors. So from a contractual perspective, commodity risk resides with the contractor, and this commodity issue has been something that's definitely top in the contractor's mind for a long time, and in our procurement processes, we're working closely with the contractors to make sure that they understand those risks that they're taking, which they do, of course, and have a view on how they're handling it. And we are seeing an uptick in those prices and how they're pricing those in the contracts. So it's not something that there's going to be increasing gross profit margins at all. In terms of an overall impact on it, I mean, we've got tenders out right now to conclude Noya, which are sales that we've already launched, and we're well into discussions with contractors on that. And I wouldn't say we're overly concerned about profit margins right now, but you might see 1 or 2 points of compression on a couple of our projects on the margin. If prices continue to escalate, I know there's a big debate still about whether it's transitory or a bit more permanent. On the existing stuff, it's all locked in already with the contractors. So, let's say a couple billion, even less of overall project value, of which 60%, let's say, is contractors' cost, and of that, maybe half of that relates to hard quantities of steel or glass or cement that would be subject to this kind of risk. So when you do that step down math, you might conclude that there's 1 or 2 percent at risk if things go against us. But I wouldn't say it's something that's giving us too much concern right now. And generally, I think we're pretty happy with how proactive the contractors have been about identifying this risk and working through the various mitigation strategies in there within the supply chain.
All right.
The second question was on Egypt. We called out Egypt in our operating model, a change that we announced at the beginning of the year. That's a strong belief and an investment thesis that the management team has and with our board around that as a very attractive market, the segment that we choose to play in. So it's the upper band in the Egyptian real estate market. And then the development industry there, the home building industry there, the way it lends itself to our skill set and our competencies quite well. Communities, well-planned communities, this high-end segment of the Egyptian market is a growing one. It appreciates the kind of product that's in our DNA, and we have a lot to add, to that market. So really, that's the thesis. So when we go out to execute that thesis, you can then see how SODIC is relevant in that context. But, we're also with our network, with our shareholders and with the origination network that our management team's built out there, there's a lot of very interesting opportunities that's coming up that we think we're uniquely positioned to take advantage of or in terms of access to interesting transactions, access to interesting partners, and all those things, that macro and I think the alpha that we can bring with our origination network, it makes it an interesting segment to play in for us.
Okay, so it's high-end first and second home in Egypt.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay, understood. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Harsh.
And for one final reminder, if you want to register a question, you can do so by pressing star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad now, or you may press the flag icon if you have joined us online. We have a question from Harsh of Goldman Sachs. Harsh, your line is now open. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Hi, Greg. Congratulations on the results. I just have one question. There's been another record quarter in terms of your development sales. And I was hoping to understand, based on your understanding about the trends, do you see this is more of a pent-up demand that's getting reflected, or is it kind of a structural shift based on the nationalities that you're seeing, where there's something we can say there's a sustainable demand that will, this kind of trend will continue for the next few quarters? And the second question is, you also kind of revised your guidance upward in terms of the development sales. Linking with the first question, is it something we should assume that, that's the kind of pieces that the management will be looking at least in the medium term for the next few years? Thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, I guess the answer is it's a bit of both. There's clearly some pent-up demand, and that, I think that was a real catalyst for some of the immediate sales launches that we've had. But I think what's given us a lot of confidence has been seeing that the breadth and depth of the new customers, that are coming through, especially on the expatriate side, and especially on the back of the sentiment and the practical impact that the government's reform programs are having on the market. long-term expats are feeling a lot more comfortable at deploying capital into property here. And we're seeing that live and in Technicolor in our sales. With that broadening of the investor universe, we think that there is a structural shift to move up. Now, there's always a cyclicality to real estate sales. But if that's an up and down cycle, I think that whole up and down line has trended up. So we've historically, guided sales in that sort of 1,500 units a year, 3 to 3.5 billion of sales a year. There's no doubt that these reforms are having a positive impact, and that's moving up. In terms of how much we're guiding, around a perpetual increase, I mean, we don't usually do that, but we've moved up our guidance this year. It's going to finish well over 5 billion dirhams. How much of a permanent re-guide is that? That's tough to say at this point, other than I would agree with the statement that there is a structural shift up in demand foundations for Abu Dhabi real estate.
Interesting. Thank you very much. And I just have two follow-up questions. So one is, are you able to pass through any price increases given the robust demand that you've seen? And secondly, just in terms of the expat demand, could you help us understand what kind of product are they kind of preferring? Is it apartments versus villa or mid-market versus high-end? If something around that, if you could comment on it. Thank you.
Yeah, so on the price comment, because they've been sellouts, the price increase has mostly been a function of, the first couple of sales, the guys, sell at, let's say, 100. And because they start selling like hotcakes, we very quickly move up to 102, 105, 107, during the sales events themselves. So that sort of price increase we've sort of seen. I think in that context, what we're still doing at Aldar, in the Abu Dhabi market, is we're still bringing new product at new price points. So that's, I think, the predominant thing going, whether it's mid-market, with Water's Edge, or whether it's the Noya that's, on the horizontal side that's inventing new price points in the market. That's, pushing up price increases needs to be seen in the context of where we're introducing new price points. But just the function of the tremendous demand we've seen, in the hours and days around these launches, we have been very successful moving price increases in, reflective of the very strong demand that we're seeing from customers.
Thank you.
And I'll allow a few moments here for any last-minute questions to come in.
And sorry, I didn't answer Harsh's second question around trends. I mean, the horizontal has definitely been, has been the trend, and I think there's always been a bit of an expectation that the COVID, sentiment around getting out of glass and into horizontal villas was a catalyst for that. We definitely have seen that driving a lot of the sentiment, but. In our market, because it's still a very supply-managed market, we've got very important, exciting destinations at Yaz and Sadiat that we're going to be focusing both villa and apartment development on, when seen in the context of this constructive supply that we have in Abu Dhabi and the emergence of these incredibly well-invested destinations from a government perspective. We see trends that will be continuing the pace of launch, taking advantage of the depth, this new depth we're seeing within our customer base.
There are no further questions on the line. I'd now like to hand back over to the host for any closing remarks.
Greg, I think we have no other questions. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, other than thank you for dialing in and enjoy, for those of you in the region, a good long weekend. And we look forward to speaking to you at Q3.
Thank you for your time today, and thank you everyone for coming. we hope to see you next quarter.